Savior God, guide us by your word and spirit that we might hear your truth. Heed your call and be prepared for Christ's coming this Christmas. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning is, Listen for the Word of the Lord. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. They knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So, too, will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the word of the Lord.
Our Old Testament reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Hear now the word of the Lord. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Good and gracious God, I pray that you speak through me, and when and where necessary, in spite of me. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to set a scene for you this morning, somewhere many of us likely have been at some point in our lives, or many points in our lives, whether it was recent or not, and whether we are adults or children. Imagine, we are all on a playground, swing sets, monkey bars, balance beams, slides, the works. Kids are all running around, skipping, playing, laughing. Teachers are keeping watchful eye to make sure no one stumbles and no kids tussle. And on this playground is a sandbox, which from across the way, two kids from opposite sides of the yard spot. The sandbox, they both seem to covet, wasn't a very big sandbox. And so the two kids each looked at one another, and then back at the sandbox, and then back at one another again as if to say, I saw it first. It's mine. And then, as if in slow motion, the two kids wind up to sprint as fast as they can to that sandbox, each trying desperately to claim the territory and the toys in it for themselves. One kid, the one with slightly longer legs, reaches the sandbox first, by mere seconds, but stumbles on the entrance and seems a bit heated and ruffled feathered as a result. Once both kids have their feet firmly planted in the sandbox, almost reminiscent of a boxing ring, they pause. Eyes locked, heavy breathing, hands tense from the action. And the teachers, remembering that these kids were just weeks ago involved in an incident during class, see this. And they too set their feet at the ready to get involved if something went wrong again. Who's going to make the first move? Who is going to strike first, they wonder. Who is going to take the sandbox and who is going to be ejected? Who is going to wind up in the principal's office? Silent tension continues to build up until the smaller kid takes a breath and says, "Are you okay? I thought you were about to just face plant there." The taller kid responded with, yeah, I'm okay. And he reached down into his baggy shorts pocket. Teachers still tensely observing because they can't quite hear what's going on. The taller kid continued, "I just wanted to get here first so I could help gather some sand for you. I even have a shovel that could help." He continues to pull it out of his pocket. "I forgot to return it last time I was here. Would you like to play together?" Whew! No territory fight. No, this is my toy argument. No punching, no biting. And yes, I have experienced a tussle involving these things in my preschool days. Just expectation, anticipation, responsibility, and kindness. And yet, perhaps we, like the teachers in the story, were expecting something different to transpire. Perhaps we were thinking about the playground as if it were the world today, and the individuals weren't kids, but adults experiencing conflict. It could be any conflict. Someone said something hurtful. Someone took something that didn't belong to them. Someone covets something they can't or shouldn't have. Whatever it might be, if the world were that sandbox, do you think the individuals would have reacted in a similar manner? Perhaps. Could it also be the case where the first individual clenches their fist and the other reaches for what's on their hip instead of what's in their pocket? How quickly things can escalate. I offer this illustration because the things that happen today in our world are not so different from the verses that bookend our passage today and didn't make it into the lectionary. War, hatred, violence, utter destruction, division, an ongoing conflict that seems it will never end. We as a people get so overwhelmed by differences and fear of the unknown. We put desire of our own security and our own stability over that of our neighbors, and we forget. We forget just how much we have in common. And that opens the door to the strife we see around us. Amidst it, we are painfully aware of how we as a people fall short of Isaiah's vision of justice and peace for God's whole creation. Divided into groups, whether we use warheads or words. We cling to violence as if violence, were the thing that will eventually bring about light to the nations, instead of seeking the light itself, flocking to the mountain where God illuminates the path to peace. Much like the kids rushing to the sandbox, Isaiah's vision is one where all nations, all peoples stream, rush, sprint, run to the holy mountain of God, eager to learn, eager to walk the path of light, eager for peace with one another. And at that mountain, the people beat their swords into plowshares. They forge their weapons meant for destruction into something that nourishes the world. Imagine what we could do, the prophet seems to say. Imagine if we lived in a world where there were no more wars. If we raised up trees and tents instead of statues and swords. Imagine if we all lived for the common goal of peace and prosperity for all of humankind, all God's children. What we could do with all the resources available to us, using them to build rather than destroy, tend and till rather than purge, learn about one another, for the sake of community, rather than learning how to fight another. Imagine a world where we can leave our houses for school or work and know that we will be returning home to our families that evening. Imagine a world where we can be at a festival and know that the noise we heard was just a car backfiring. Imagine a world where our kids enter through the doors at the school rather than metal detectors, and where they practice math drills instead of safety ones. Imagine a world where not only is there food and water in abundance, but it is distributed in a way that no child is ever thirsty or hungry again. Imagine a world where all humans, all races, all cultures, all classes flourish. I so long for this world. Don't you? Isaiah provides this vision not just as a far-off dream, but as a hope. The deepest hope that burns brightest in the darkest of days. And the long-anticipated arrival of Jesus is that hope fulfilled. From birth to death to resurrection, the peace of Christ breaks down dividing walls, offering us hope, even amidst deep tragedy. And this hope isn't just something we sit waiting for. We are called to go to that mountain, to stream to that mountain, and to participate in the bringing about of this peace, learning, loving, and serving. It's not an easy task, nor is it an immediately fulfilling one. To forge a path to peace and to see the light of hope in the darkness. But if we can see the divine hope born about in an infant lying in a manger, if we can see the hope that is lifted up by the resurrected Christ and illuminated in the empty tomb, then we can see the hope that is encapsulated in our common and divinely inspired desire for peace. And when we open our eyes, we see that peace growing around us, in our teachers, in our social workers, our doctors and nurses, aid workers, disaster response teams, our children, our family, our friends, our neighbors, and yes, even strangers. Returning ourselves back to the kids on the playground, I offer you an excerpt from a book written by author and minister Robert Fulghum. All I really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sand pile at Sunday school. These are the things I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. And here's my favorite one. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and think some and draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic. Hold hands. Stick together. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup. The roots go down and the plant goes up, and nobody really knows how or why. But we're all like that. Goldfish and hamsters and white mice and even the little seed in the styrofoam cup. They all die. So do we. And then remember the Dick and Jane books and the first word you learned, the biggest word of all, look. Everything you need to know is in there somewhere. The golden rule and love and basic sanitation, ecology and politics and equality and sane living. Take any one of those items and extrapolate it into a sophisticated adult terms and apply it to your family life, or your work, or your government, or your world, and it holds true and clear and firm. Think what a better world it would be if we all, the whole world, had cookies and milk about 3 o'clock every afternoon, and then lay down with our blankies for a nap. Or if all governments had a basic policy to always put things back where they found them, and to clean up their own mess. And it is still true, no matter how old you are, when you go out into the world, it is best to hold hands and stick together. End excerpt. Whether the nations in Isaiah's vision led a life of peace because they were simply at a point where there was no need for war, or whether they actively chose the work of creation and cultivation over the work of death and destruction, that work is happening now too. Let us not be resistant or passively indifferent to the ongoing work of God's peace. Even as it seems so far off, let us be hopeful and active participants in God's covenantal promise, not just laying down our swords and shields, but forging them into tools that nourish and sustain God's whole, wonderful, beautiful creation. Amen.